unceded territory of the Algonquin Nation.
May all his love descend with respect and peace.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Maker of us all, you call us to love our neighbors as ourselves and teach us that faith without works is dead. Open us to the ministries that lie before us, where faith and the needs of our neighbor come together in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Amen.
A reading from the book of Isaiah. Dites à ceux qui s'efforcent, soyez forts, ne craignez pas. Voici votre Dieu. C'est la vengeance qui vient, la rétribution de Dieu. Il vient lui-même vous sauver. Alors, les yeux des aveugles verront et les oreilles des sourds s'ouvriront. Alors, le boitier bondira comme un cerf et la bouche du muette criera la joie. Des eaux jailliront dans le désert, des torrents dans la steppe. La terre brûlante se changera en lac, la région de la soif en source jaillissante. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
I see. reading from the letter of James. Excuse me. My brothers and sisters, do you with your acts of favoritism really believe in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ? For if a person with gold rings and in fine clothes comes into your assembly, and if a poor person in dirty clothes also comes in, and if you take notice of the one wearing the fine clothes and say, "Have a seat here, please," while for the one on the poor you say, "Stand there or sit at my feet," have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers and sisters, has not God chosen the poor in the world to be rich in faith and to be heirs of the kingdom that he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor. Is it not the rich who oppress you? Is it not they who drag you into court? Is it not they who blaspheme the excellent name that was invoked over you? You do well if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture: "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable for all of it. For the one who said, "You shall not commit adultery," also said, "You shall not murder." Now if you do not commit adultery, but if you murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so act as those who are to be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment will be without mercy to anyone who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but do not have works? Can faith save you? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, "Go in peace, keep warm and eat your fill," and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Jesus set out and went away to the region of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know he was there. Yet he could not escape notice. But a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately heard about him, and she came and bowed down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile of Syrophoenician origin. She begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. He said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he said to her, "For saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." So she went home, found the child lying in the bed, and the demon gone. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went by way of Sidon towards the Sea of Galilee, in the region of the Decapolis. They brought to him a deaf man who had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. He took him aside in private, away from the crowd, and put his fingers into his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And immediately his ears were opened, his tongue released, and he spoke plainly. Then Jesus ordered them to tell no one, but the more he ordered them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. They were astounded beyond measure, saying, "He has done everything well. He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
May I speak to you in the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's good to be back with you. I was wondering how it would feel. Are we in a different church, or are we in the same church? Or is it the same but different? But I could say the same of churches that I visited on my holidays. I was at St. Paul's Cathedral in London and Westminster Abbey and St. Margaret's Anglican Episcopal Church in Budapest in Hungary. Are they the same church or are they different? There were a lot of things that were the same that felt like home. But yesterday, as we were assembling what you now see, it really did feel different. And I think I've had a summer of learning about how buildings affect us and whether they're important. As you may know, I served in a church in Toronto for 9 years that burned down at the beginning of the summer. And then shortly after that, a church that I served in Toronto for 10 years had their official closing service. And I have to say, it felt like a funeral. Two churches where the building will be no more. But I think I learned the most about buildings, not from churches, but from Parliament buildings. I was standing in front of Westminster with some friends, taking a picture of Big Ben, and my friends who were with me said, This is the most photographed building in the world. Then in the second part of my holiday, I was in Budapest, and there's a beautiful parliament building in Hungary, the capital of Hungary. It just shimmers with the lights on it at night. It looks like a jewel. And there weren't as many people taking pictures, but there were a lot of people taking pictures. It was on the opposite side of the river that it was the most impressive. And it looked different from Westminster, more symmetrical and more classical in style. And I was really interested to have a tour, so we did that. And on the tour, the tour leader said that it was deliberately copying Westminster. That for the Hungarians, it was important to have the kind of symbolism that Westminster has in London. And that's why they put it on the riverbank, and why it's full of craftsmanship and symbolism, which it was. Symbolic details in every carving, and there were also pieces of the building about Transylvania, that part of Hungary that is no longer in Hungary, and they will never forget that it is no longer in Hungary because it's in the fabric of the building, that Transylvania is Hungarian. So buildings, you know, they have this power once they're in place. Now, I was surprised that they said it was a copy of Westminster, because I've thought that more of Canada, that the Peace Tower kind of looks like we were trying to do our own version of Big Ben. And so I looked in the literature about the Canadian Parliament buildings, and there was no reference to anything about inspiration, so I thought the Hungarians were very upfront about this. But it sent me searching for why Parliament buildings are the way they are. And there's an article in a magazine called the Architectural Review. The article is The Typology of Parliament Buildings. And apparently they have been imitating each other, constantly referencing each other around the world as countries have built a new parliament. But the most impactful has been Westminster. Everyone, it seems, is copying its style and its prominence. And the one thing they're doing different is in Westminster, the House of Commons has the government and the opposition across from each other. Now, the ones who are copying this prominence of Parliament, they seem to not like that idea. So mostly they have Parliament in a circle, or a Parliament in a semicircle, or in a horseshoe, which kind of has the two sides, but then it merges at the end. So anyways, in 1941, during the Blitz, the House of Commons in London was badly damaged. And they had to reconsider whether, you know, this thing that was going on in Parliament buildings around the world was actually a good idea. Maybe they should have a semicircle or a horseshoe. And Winston Churchill put a stop to that with his opening comments. We shape our buildings, and thereafter they shape us. So this is where I think about what we are doing here. We shape our building, and it shapes us. Are we going to be any different with these changes? Well, I hope so in some ways. You know, there's something about newness that raises our energy, and I hope we're going to have that. Also, we've started from familiarity. You're sitting in the same kinds of places you would have sat before, and so we're starting from a comfortable space, but we know we can move this furniture around, so you're starting with familiarity, but be ready for experiments. The biggest change is actually the 8 o'clock service. And if you go up here, like walk afterwards in the refreshments, you'll see the gorgeous floor. But you will see that the 8 o'clock people told me in no uncertain terms that rows are not what they like. They want the horseshoe of the Hungarian Parliament. How important is the building? I can say because two previous churches that I served, the building is gone. Well, how important is our building? It shapes our community. It's one factor among many, perhaps. But this community of people, us, this community of people has deep justice roots and ongoing current justice sympathies and passion. I don't know if there's a relationship between the building and how we got to be that. Maybe it's one factor, but that's how this community, how it does what it does. This community has deep justice roots and current sympathies. It's the vehicle for the telling of our stories and the ways we become motivated by our stories. And so in the readings today, you know, we can nod along with James about, you know, how rich people are treated differently from poor people. And when James writes that faith is dead if there are no works to go with it, I think you would get all of us agreeing that, you know, we got to show in our actions what we speak about. This is a community where that's what we do. The harder reading is Jesus and the Syrophoenician woman. He insults her. Or at least that's our 21st century reading, to say that, you know, the crumbs under the on the floor, you know, you're no better than dogs if you're from Syrophoenicia. And he also has this self-understanding that he is only for Israel, the Israel of that time. And that raises a bigger question for us, which I'll call, is Jesus teachable? Does he grow in understanding? Because among Christians, there is going to be a traditional perspective that Jesus is the second person of the Trinity, therefore Jesus is God, therefore Jesus is all-knowing, and therefore there has to be some explanation for this, rather than that he was rude to her. There has to be some explanation that saved Jesus as, you know, part of God. That he wasn't even being rude, there was something else going on. But I don't buy it. I like the idea that Jesus is teachable and that this woman expanded his point of view. What's wrong with Jesus being teachable? And if I could add even further, what about God being teachable? Didn't God want to, you know, say to Moses, I'm going to destroy all the Israelites and start all over again with you? And didn't God say to Noah, I'm just going to destroy it all and start all over with you? And God learned about being in relationship with humans by being in relationship with us. I would say that even God created us to be in relationship with God. And if you're going to be in relationship with a person, you're going to learn. You know how they say something about opposites attract? Those are the people who really learn in relationships. But everybody does. God chose to create human beings. God opened God's self to being changed by relationships with us. Now, what does the building have to do with any of this? This is where we contemplate who God is and how we are in relationship with God. And from there, how we're to be in relationship with each other, in relationship with the creation, in relationship with the city, in relationship with that parliament building down the road there. If Jesus can learn, if God learns by being in relationship, for us to be learners is the highest form of praise. It's actually a discipline called process theology that God learns in exactly this way that Jesus does, and therefore this should be our path. We need to learn by being together. And we're in a space that is intended to help us do that. We need to learn the culture around us and its needs so that we can feel even better about reading the letter of James and saying, yes, we have works to go with this faith. But speaking of needs, I really want to focus on the Syrophoenician woman, because even with a put down, she self-advocated. She stood up for herself. Gays and lesbians have had to do it. Black people have had to do it. Indigenous people are doing it in our midst. It's the poor people living on the street who haven't yet been able to do it very well. And I'm thinking about them because I see them constantly. I see the drugs out on the street, and I'm really thinking about this. When someone ends up out on the street, a lot of other things have gone badly before they got there. The drugs that are available now are more poisonous and addictive than they've ever been. Before there were these drugs, you know, people did alcohol, and if they didn't get their liver, you know, they found AA and they had a second chance. With these drugs, they're so destructive that the end is quick. Our neighboring parish to the east, St. Albans, does a memorial service each month with at least 30 people. Many of them young people who have come from something. And this is what's happened. The Syrophoenician woman isn't advocating for herself. She is advocating for her daughter who has an unclean spirit. Now that's the language of the first century, but I see this daughter with the unclean spirit language as a way we can talk about the daughters and sons of our time, where the unclean spirit is these drugs that have captured them. I've been listening to the discussion about supervised injection sites, how inflammatory it is, and how gearing up towards election time it is. And I think here are people who are not able to self-advocate. The Syrophoenician woman needs to be us. What does the building have to do with any of this? This is the place where we do what we've been doing for a long time. It's where we renew our God-centered perspective in order to be intentional about compassion and helping. To again quote Winston Churchill, "We shape our buildings and thereafter they shape us." I hope this renewed space will give us renewed energy to examine our relationship with God and deepen in shared intentional compassion. Amen.
Oh, Creator of all, we come with thankful hearts because we can join together in prayer. As we practice the rituals we have inherited, we know that we join with all those who have come before us that yearn to be renewed and ever closer to your love as we say, Gracious God, hear our prayer. We pray for our world. We pray for those who suffer in struggles for power. We pray for environmental conditions that need to change. We pray for peace between nations, especially Ukraine and Russia, Gaza, Israel. Peace within countries, peace between us and our Mother Earth, within homes and families, and within our own hearts. Gracious God, hear our prayer. We pray for Canada. Inspire our leaders to acknowledge the goodness of humankind and to work to foster government which cooperates at all levels, federal, provincial, and local. Support us as we seek ways to be effective, loving citizens. Gracious God, hear our prayer. We pray for our reconciliation with the truths of our Indigenous history. Help us to learn and accept where we are now so that we can grow in respect, care, and love for our earth. Gracious God, hear our prayer. We pray for the church and its leaders and are thankful and ask your blessings for those who minister at St. John's, Gary, Alan, Christina, Pat, Kimberly, Tom and the choir, Carrie, Jesse, Monica, Barb, Jeff, Mary Ann, and all of us who volunteer, especially the Building Renewal Committee, who have created anew this worship space, and the Garden Committee, whose work ministers to us and to passers-by. Gracious God, we pray for children and their families. Gracious God, hear our prayer. We pray for the sick, their loved ones, and their caregivers. We ask that your love and comfort be felt by us all, including Diana, Sarah, Marcella, Pat, Wilma, Elfez, and Samuel, and those close to our hearts. We pray for the departed and all those who mourn them. Gracious God, hear our prayer. Lord God, shape us as a people who trust that your goodness will never cease. Help us to hear your callings. Walk beside us when we travel unfamiliar paths, and when we wander without a clear path to follow. Meet us anew in your love and inspire us to carry that love to others wherever we go. Gather to your heart our prayers that in these days of deep yearning for peace, for our prayers may come to you not only from our lips and hearts, but from our very lives. Amen.
Let us confess our sins, confident in God's forgiveness. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart, We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
As our Savior taught us, let us pray. Keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you this day and remain with you always. Amen.
Thank you. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.